copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
This is a seminar on marketing communications, some of this material may be completely new to you, and some of it may be things that you've heard before, but my goal is to help you understand how to communicate more effectively about your ministry. So I always like to let people know how I got to this place. So when I was a junior in high school, third year in high school, I had two things happen to me. I had someone share the gospel with me. In fact, it was Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of works, is a gift of God, so that no man should boast. And because of that, I came to faith in Christ and trusted Christ. And the second thing I did is I took an advertising class. And I remember thinking, this is just really easy for me. My mind works this way. This is something I could do. So I went off to university and I majored in marketing and advertising. And when I was about to graduate, I'd been involved in Campus Crusade, which was very helpful in helping me grow in my relationship with Christ. However, at the end of my college years, the leadership was trying to, and I would use this word, pressure me into going on staff with Krampus Crusade. And I have a very favorable opinion of that ministry. But the way they were saying it was what made me uncomfortable, because they were portraying that being in ministry was the higher calling than doing anything else. And it really confused me, because I did really well as a student. I'd always been able to do advertising. So I came to a place my senior year, my last year of university, where I just said, Lord, I don't quite understand why you would give me this seeming ability to do this and yet make that less in your kingdom. And so a friend of mine gave me this book, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. I don't know if any of you have read it, but there's a chapter in there that's called The Sacrament of Living. And so that chapter talks about how all of life is sacred. That when we try and split things into secular and sacred things, it's not a biblical view, it's man's view. And so it's not what you do, it's why you do it and who you do it for that makes all the difference in the world. And so I sat there that night and I said a simple prayer. I said, Lord, if this is how you've equipped me, then let me use this ability to help build your kingdom. And so the reason why I wanted to start my story here in my seminar here is because I would not be standing here with you if God had not continually, faithfully fulfilled that prayer. Now, from a professional standpoint, I have been in marketing and advertising leadership roles pretty much my whole life. I was a communications consultant, and I've helped and lead and develop communications for multiple campaigns and individuals raising missionary support. God has been faithful, and I'm going to show you examples of how throughout my career, whether I've been in the marketplace or helping ministries, I've been able to apply these principles that I think will help you. I've also been a board member for a Christian camp and been on the advancement committee for that board for 11 years. And I'm going to show you some examples of some of the materials that were developed as a result. I've been a member of the President's Advisory Council for my alma mater, which is Indiana State University. Now, many of the people outside the U.S. won't recognize that, but if you follow basketball, that's where Larry Bird went to school. I was on campus with Larry Bird. And then I've worked for companies as small as 11 employees to multinationals. I've been a global marketing director, so I've had to manage teams all over the U.S. in very small offices and very big offices. And currently, I'm the president of something called the Author Learning Center, which is a business that we spun off from the company I was working with before. So the reason I start here is because I've had diverse experience in diverse organizations across a number of years. And so that's why I can stand here with confidence and say the principles I'm going to share with you will work no matter what your situation is, no matter how big or how small your organization is. Now, when you think about effective communications, we should think of it this way, that communications is part of our stewardship. We should be the best communicators and designers as part of our stewardship, because we know the original designer and the best communicator. And that is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So we should reflect that in our work. So what I want to do is I want to give you some principles to help you do that. And I'm going to break my presentation into two segments. One is I want to talk to you about the message. And the message is about making a promise. And the media is about communicating a promise. So that's the way I want you to think about marketing communications. It's about making a promise and communicating a promise. Now, this may seem very straightforward, but the message is simply what you say. And I want to talk to you about how you should think about what you say. So I want you to think of your marketing and communication as making and keeping a promise. And the reason I say that is because all relationships are sustained based on this interaction. This morning I was having breakfast with someone, and we were talking about how a relationship works. Because he was worried about, or he was wondering how to communicate with his constituency or potential donors. I said, think about a relationship. How do relationships work? They start with, I'm going to be your friend, or I'm going to be your spouse, or I'm going to be your father or your mother or whatever, and I'm going to stay engaged in that relationship. And I typically will communicate over time, not just when I need something, but I'll communicate, I'll share with you needs I have, I'll share with you celebrations I have. So when you begin to think about your marketing communications and the audiences you need to communicate like you do relationships, it really makes it much simpler. And it helps you solve issues like how often should I communicate or what should I say? Because thinking about it through this framework helps you think differently than just trying to be clever or just trying to be tricky. You want to work with your marketing communications as you would any relationship. But you also want to say something that is compelling, differentiating, and true. Now, each of those words is important. I don't know if they translate exactly into your native language, but let me break them down. Compelling is something that makes me want to take action. Too often, organizations tell me information or give me information, but they don't tell me anything that motivates my heart or my mind to take action. The second thing you want to do is you want to talk about something that's differentiating. And what do I mean by differentiating? This is sometimes a hard word to translate. But what I want to do is I want to communicate something about your ministry that's unique from any other ministry out there. And I'm going to say this because this always comes up. A lot of times Christian organizations feel uncomfortable with that because they feel as though they're being arrogant or they're trying to say that they're better than anyone else. And I don't think that's true. If God puts a unique call on your ministry and on your life, it's part of your stewardship to communicate that to people so that people know exactly what it is that God has called you to do. And we'll talk about that. And then the last thing, which seems obvious, is you want to do something that's true. So if you make a promise to someone that, hey, if you give us this money, this is what we're going to do with it, you want to make sure that you follow through and you do that. That you actually accomplish what you said you're going to do with that money or those volunteer hours or whatever it is that you're asking for. The same thing is true with the people that you're trying to serve. You don't want to promise them something and then have them show up and have you do something completely different than what you promised. You do that one time and you'll lose the relationship. Just as if you would a friendship if someone said something to you and you lose that. So always be thinking about, is it compelling, differentiating, and true? And then you want to talk about the benefits versus the features. The benefits are what it makes me feel. The features is what you do for them. So you want to think about not just what you do for them, but how they feel about it or the emotions that it can create. And oftentimes people walk away from emotions because they think that's not the most effective way. But if you understand that a relationship sometimes starts with someone saying something emotional, it can help you be very effective. And I'm going to talk about how and show you some examples of how that works. So this is a key principle for you to remember, is that marketing communications is making and keeping a promise. All right, the second thing is to understand in the audiences that you're trying to communicate, that there are three basic motivations that everyone has, no matter what country they're in, no matter how old they are, when they decide to make a purchase decision, when they decide to engage in a relationship. And if they're going to buy a product like a car, or they're going to buy shampoo, or they're going to eat at a restaurant, or they're going to support your ministry, or they're going to volunteer with your ministry, or they're going to volunteer at the European Leadership Forum. All of those are what I would call a purchase decision because they're exchanging something. They're exchanging time or they're exchanging money or they're exchanging talent. And they're expecting things. So the three basic motivations that everyone has is they're trying to either solve a problem, they're trying to reach a goal, or they're trying to achieve an aspiration. And every purchase decision can be traced back to one of those three things. So let me give you two illustrations of that. Let's say you have some kind of health crisis, like your blood pressure's too high. So your goal or your problem is, I've got to lower my blood pressure. I've got to figure out how to do that. My goal is, I'm going to exercise regularly and I'm going to change the way I eat and lose some weight. But my aspiration may be, I want to run a marathon. And so the most important thing is to solve the problem, but we're all motivated by things higher than just solving problems. So another example is, we were in Krakow before we got here. My wife and our family did some vacation. We sent our family home. My wife and I came here to the European Leadership Forum. When we landed, we were hungry. So we have to solve a problem. We have to eat some food. So the goal is, we don't have a kitchen. We can't cook ourselves. We've got to find a restaurant. But we'd been to Krakow before, and there's a restaurant that we went to there called Kugel Mugel, which is a wonderful restaurant. That was our aspiration. Now, our budget could not afford for us to eat there every night, but that was an aspiration. So you're always trying to either solve a problem, reach a goal, or achieve an aspiration. So what you want to do is, you want to express your message as to how you help your audience solve the problem, reach the goal, or achieve the aspiration. Too often, when people communicate, they talk about themselves instead of thinking about what is motivating the audience. Why are they interested in engaging in a relationship with you? Now, in that first communication, you don't have to tell them everything, but you've got to get them interested so that you can have a relationship to tell them more. The reason this is important is because having a favorable opinion of something and thinking it's a good idea is not enough. Again, I had an opportunity at a meal this week to talk to someone, and he said that they had sent out information and got no response. Well, they may think favorably about the organization, they may think favorably about what they're doing, but if you don't get a response, you're limited in what you can do. In my professional career, we've launched products where we've done research with focus groups, and people say, oh, that's a really wonderful idea. But it's not compelling enough to get them to actually purchase the product. So it's true in ministries, it's true in churches, it's true in all walks of life. Having a favorable opinion or thinking something is a good idea is not the same as getting someone to engage in a relationship with you. Okay? So let me show you some examples of how this works. I'm going to show you some from the marketplace, and I'm going to show you some from the ministry. So here's some two different headlines. So one of the clients that I worked with for many years is RCI, the world's largest timeshare company. I don't know if in your country timeshares, right? So you own a condo or you have something and you can exchange it. You can trade it for a condo in another. So if you own one in Romania, you can trade that and go to Disney World. Or if you own one in Disney World and you want to visit the Czech Republic, you can trade it there. So RCI is the world's largest timeshare exchange company. So when we started working with them, they were saying this: we have more timeshare exchange opportunities than anybody else. That is an absolutely true statement. Okay, but what does that mean for me? Why do I care? What's the benefit? So what we did is we learned and we listened to the people who were actually doing the exchanges. What we learned is the reason why they wanted timeshare is because it allowed them in a very busy world to create memories with the people they love. So we changed the headline. Are you ready to make some memories with the ones you love? And the reason we could say that is because we have more opportunities for you to do anything you want. You can go to Romania if you want. You can go to Disney World if you want. You can go skiing in Colorado or in the Swiss Alps. So it's the same information, but it's triggered by a different thing. And in the end, that's what people really wanted. That was the reason why they did it. And we found that out because that's thinking through it from the standpoint of solving a problem, reaching a goal, or achieving an aspiration. Okay? So this is another example. So this is a company that I work with now. I actually kind of have two jobs. So I work for the world's largest supported self-publishing company. So in the U.S. and mostly around the world, if you want to get a book published, you have to find a publisher. And they actually may pay you in advance. They acquire the rights to your book, and then they do all the design and they put it out there. And that can be a very, very difficult thing to get someone to buy your book so that they'll publish it. Because a lot of times they only have a limited number of books. Well, we created a company where if you have a book and you have the right funds, we will help you design your book, put it into print, and put it into digital and distribute it all over the world. Plus, we have all kinds of marketing services. So when I first started with the company, we had this simple phrase, we would help you get published. Much like RCI, there's nothing wrong or incorrect about that, but it's not very compelling. Because what people are thinking about is not getting published, they're thinking about this. This last headline, the second headline, imagine holding the first copy of your book in your hands, right? That's what I want. I've worked on this manuscript for 10 years. I've labored over it, and one day that envelope or that box comes and I rip it open and I'm holding a copy of my book. That's what people were tied into. Now, we'll help you get published, but that's not what people are reaching for. They're reaching for something else. So let me give you some examples in some ministries. So one of the ministries that I've worked with over the years is the LCMS Foundation. That's Luther Missouri Synod Foundation. What they are is they're an arm of the Luther Missouri Synod Foundation, or Luther Missouri Synod, where they have financial planning instruments to help people plan wisely for their investments and plan wisely for wills and trusts and things so that they use their money in the best way. So when I started with them, I'm actually going to show you the example of this. This was their headline that they were using, Realize Your Vision for Mission and Ministry. Now, they use things, the instruments, and again, I don't know if these are available in the countries that you reside in, but things like charitable remainder trusts, where you make a big donation, you get a tax, and then you have some life insurance, and then when you die, that life insurance pays your heirs. And there's all these very legal things to do. And this is what they said. And so what we did is we changed the headline and said, provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about. And the reason is when you listen to people, that's what they were concerned about. They wanted to give to the Lord's work, but they also didn't want to shortchange their heirs. And so all we did is we brought to them this to the forefront to help people do this. I had shared this. I did a preform seminar, and I shared these numbers. I'm going to repeat them again because the first time I heard them, I didn't believe them. So we did not change one thing that they offered, not one product, not one service, not one thing. We just changed the communication. And when we started working with them, they managed about $70 million in assets. And in 18 months, they were managing $700 million in assets. Because it was just very easy for people to understand that you can help me do what's on my heart to do. All right, and then another one, which I'm going to show you the physical examples of all these crisis pregnancy centers. I know some countries have these, right? So a woman is pregnant, and she needs help to avoid aborting the baby, and so the crisis pregnancy centers step in. It's a big ministry within the U.S. So a number of years ago, the crisis pregnancy center in where I live in central Indiana was going to do a capital campaign, and so one of the board members told the director that he should talk to me about the communications. And I'm going to show you the examples, but they started out with the capital campaign by calling it Campaign for Life. And that's not bad, but it doesn't really tell me anything from a compelling standpoint. So as we went through the process that I'm going to walk you through in a little bit, we said, well, what happens if you raise this money that you're trying to raise? They said, well, at our current rate, we open one center a year. But if we could raise this money, we could double that and open two centers a year. Okay? So you'll have six centers instead of three years from now. Okay? So why do I care? Well, if we open a center, our statistics show us that we can intervene in the lives of probably 800 babies. We can touch that many women and save that many babies. And through that, we'll see some other commitments to the Lord. And so what we did is we changed it from Campaign to Life to what would you do to save 2,400 babies' lives? And the difference, it's the same information. And I'm going to show you the layouts of this. It's the same information. But you see the difference between how compelling all of these headlines are. In all of the examples I've shown you, we didn't change one thing that they were doing. We didn't say you have to change your product or the way you deliver things. Not one of these did we change that. Sometimes you find that out as you go through a process like this, like maybe you have to tweak things. But in the four examples I've just shown you, it was the exact same service. It was just communicating differently. All right? So that's the first two things. Make and keep a promise. Understand the motivations. The third thing is what I call apply the takeaway. And what I mean by this is you need to take a hard look at your ministry and say that your ministry does not exist, or what would be lost, or what would not get accomplished. So if you think about the crisis pregnancy example, we didn't say 2,400 more babies will be aborted. But what we did is we turned that to say, if we can do this, we believe we'll be able to save this. Too often, organizations will only think about themselves and what they're doing. But what you need to understand is if you go away, what group of people is not served? Who doesn't hear the gospel? What human need isn't met? Because if God's call on your ministry is unique, then your message should be unique. And that is not bragging, and that is not arrogant. That's just born out of stewardship. Because it's incumbent upon you to let people know what God has called you to. And if you're not able to accomplish that, what is lost? What is lost? So in my professional career, I manage, or my team manages, a number of brands. And one of the things that we do, and one of the reasons why I think we've been effective at growing, and just so you know, we've published in the last 10 years, we've published over 225,000 authors and 300,000 books on six continents. And if you asked any of our brand managers, what's the takeaway for that, for their brand, they would be able to answer it for you immediately. I'm very confident in that. So this principle works in the marketplace, but it also works in the ministries as well, too. You need to think through, if you went away, what would happen? And then it should align with your mission and vision, but this exercise makes it clear what people get from a relationship with you that they can't get anywhere else. So it may be the people you serve, or the geography you serve, or the unique way that you meet a need, but it's really important that you think through this. So a lot of times in marketing communications, organizations make the mistake of communicating their mission. Their mission is about you and about what you do and why you do it. But your promise is about what impact it will have in my life as a result of me engaging in a relationship with you. I'm going to repeat that because that's very important. Your mission has to be clear, and that's what you do and why you do it. But that's written from your perspective. Your promise and your marketing communication should be about what impact you will have in my life if I engage in a relationship with you. So whether it's the people you serve or the donors or the volunteers you're trying to reach, if I engage in a relationship with you, what am I going to get from that? What impact, what difference will it make in my life? So again, these things are principles that you can apply in multiple situations, right? And then what you want to do is you want to try and make a promise or convey a message that isn't about your category. And what do I mean by that? Category is talking about mission. So if you're going to say, well, we need to fulfill the Great Commission, most people would expect ministries to be doing that in some way. Or we need to meet the needs of the poor. That's about the category. But what I want to know is, what do you do to meet the needs of the poor? Or what do you do to fulfill the Great Commission? Or what do you do that God has called you uniquely to that no one else is doing? And if you don't accomplish that, what happens? What happens? So I will tell you, and I've said this, I don't think the European Leadership Forum does as good a job as they could be, but I can tell you right now, if I asked each of you, if European Leadership Forum didn't exist, huge gap in the ministry of Europe right now. I've just been here for 2 days, and I can tell you that, right? That's why it's so critical that they have the funding and the volunteers and the support. Because if the European Leadership Forum doesn't exist, we don't sit in this room. And so that's the kind of things that you do. So I believe God has called the European Leadership Forum in a unique way. And it's not bragging. It's incumbent that they make sure that people know what they are accomplishing to help you all in your ministries. It's vital. It's absolutely critical. And for me, that's not arrogance. That's stewardship. If God's called you to that, then you need to make sure that people are aware so that they can bring their time, talent, treasures, and relationships to help that get accomplished. Right? God's plans always has God's provisions, but oftentimes He uses us to make those provisions. So people just need to be aware of it. So those are the three things around message. Now I want to give you two things around the media. So the media is how you say it. The message is what you say, but the media is how you say. So a number of years ago, and I don't know if this has happened to you, you'll read a verse in the Bible, you've read it a million times, and you just skip right over it. But years ago, I read this verse, and this section I have underlined hit me like a 2x4 in the face. God says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And I thought for a minute, I said, why didn't He just make an apple taste good? Why did He make it have to look good? Why was design and things pleasing to the eye important to Him? Some translations say that pleasing to the eye and useful. And what it told me is that God is very, very, very concerned about design and visuals. And so if we know Him in that way, then we should be concerned about design and visuals. And in fact, once you start looking through Scripture and you look at the description of the temple and you look at the description of the New Jerusalem, it's very specific and it's very pretty. So I had mentioned to you I'd worked in advertising positions, and so I was a creative director for a number of years, and that meant I had creative teams, and oftentimes people think creativity is doing something different every time. And what I said is, no, look at the bird, look at the flower, look at the leaf, look at the tree. Creativity is taking that one idea and showing all the different ways it can be expressed. That's how God expresses Himself in creativity. He has principles. You don't confuse a tree with a bird. But think about how many different kinds of birds there are, how many different kinds of flowers, right? But they're pleasing to the sight in different ways. So that's why this should matter to us. So one of the things that you should do is you should use photos, images, and captions. This is the one thing that you could start doing tomorrow that you probably are not doing today that will make your communications more effective. We are an image-driven culture, and we don't skip the captions. Now, I can't say this for every country, but I know this is mostly true in the West, that the way that we learn to read in children's books is actually images and captions. So from our first start, our brains are wired to look at an image and read a caption. And if you've had young children, you know that they really want to try and understand what those words are under the image. At first, they want you to read it to them, but then they want to read it themselves. That is the biggest opportunity for us as marketing people. Your photos and captions should tell your whole story because they will all get read. So you need to be very conscious about how you think about your captions and your photos. And then when you write your captions, don't just describe what I can see. So I use this illustration, but there are many ways that you could do this. So if you show me the picture of a water well being drilled in Africa, it's clearly that Africans are doing that. Don't tell me in the caption, we'll drill water wells in Africa. I can see that in the photo. Tell me, if you partner with us, we can assure that 300 people have drinking water every day. That's how you use the image and the caption to help tell your story. When I was a creative director and we would have to create brochures for clients, I would tell the writer and the art director, don't bring me the text, don't bring me the copy, bring me the photos and captions before you write anything. I wanted them to think through how that brochure was going to be told visually. Now, because I don't know if everyone's going to read all the text, but I know they will look at the images and they will read the captions. So it's very important that you do that. And then don't tell them what they should think or feel. Provide the stimulus for them to come to that conclusion. So don't tell them, you'll be happy when you give money to us. tell them 300 people will have clean drinking water if you partner with us. That creates an emotion in them, right? Now, writing these captions takes effort, takes a little bit of thought, and I'm going to say this multiple times. Your first captions will not be that good, but you will get better at it, and you will get better at it, and you will get better at it. And these are principles that you can use that will make you better over time when you do this. So let me show you some examples here. These were both used in social media and brochures. So I'd mentioned to you that I was on the board of a Christian camp. And so I helped lead the efforts to create the right kind of communications. So one of the things that they needed to do is they needed to recruit staff for the summer, right? So prior to me helping them and walking through these principles, they would have headlines like, join our summer staff, get to ride horses. And what we did is we used that image and just put the headline, effective teamwork, right? So tell me, what when you see that picture, what do you see? What do you see in that picture? Excitement. What else?
Fun,
passion, right? Right? You see a bunch of people together, and then what do? You're laughing.
I see blue.
You see blue, right, right. Well, they're all together. They're having fun. So does that look like something you'd want to do in the summer versus working at some boring restaurant where you're standing behind a counter, right? The other thing is that those words are chosen because one of the things that you know when you go into the workplace is you have to work in teams. So there's a reason why that's not one person standing there. That's a group of people. Now, if I'm a young person and I've got a choice between working some job where I'm in an apron standing behind a counter all summer, or I could do that, I might want to do that. We don't tell them everything. We just give them one little thing. Just look up information on the website for summer staff, right? Here's another one. Proof that unicorns are real. Now, what do you see in that image?
Fun.
Fun, again. What else?
A little Asian boy?
Yeah?
It's Indian.
No, that's really important. You know why? And again, I don't know if this plays within the context of Europe, but in the U.S., diversity is a big theme. So that photo is very intentional. There is an Indian boy. There's an Indian boy, a Native American Indian, because they're close to a reservation. There's an Asian boy. There's diversity. There's young girls and young boys, right? What do those kids look like? You see, they're having fun there, and then the kids having fun, right? So does this look like a place you'd want to spend some time at in the summer? And, you know, again, if you're a young person who wants to work with kids, man, that looks like that'd be a great place to get some experience. So you see, if you just are thoughtful about it, and then you don't have to tell them everything, but that draws them into your story, that draws them into your relationship, and then you can go from there. All right, let me show you another way, because this is an easy way to do this. You should try and survey people if you can, or get quotes if you can. This is something I've done in every business I've ever done, and then we used it. So this is a survey story. So one of the things that this ministry does is they have family camps. So they do camps where they all families come together. And so this was a quote from a family camp survey. This girl said, I was able to talk to my mom about some of my struggles and hurts growing up. Now, that is targeted towards a mother. We ran it on Facebook and put it in brochures. Because if I'm the mother of a teenage girl, what's the one thing I'm afraid of? She's going to stop talking to me. I won't know what's going on in her life. And the campfire behind it isn't the most important thing, but that's kind of, you get the idea that you sat around the campfire. Here's another one. This is sometimes you don't even have to write your headlines. Let your audience write your headline, right? I was reminded and given the opportunity to sit and be quiet with God. So again, there's a still lake behind there. But what does that make you feel? Oh my! If I'm a person right now that I know that I'm going, my relationship with God is growing cold. I'm too busy. This makes me think, you know what, if I could get to this place, maybe I could connect with God. Maybe I could renew my commitment to God. The point here is that if you ask your audience, they will often give you better headlines than you can write yourself. And I've seen this in the businesses I've been involved in, and I've seen this in ministries. Because it speaks to the heart and to the mind. Now, you still have to give them all the information about how do they get engaged, and we'll talk about that as well, too. But if you think about it from their perspective, and you begin to do things over time, you can do that. All right? So here's the fifth thing. You want to make your call to action clear. So what is the one thing you want me to do? What is the one thing you want me to do? And don't be afraid to ask. Too often, ministries give information, but they don't ask for what they need people to do. Now, you can be very creative in the way you do this. And sometimes it may mean you can have them either call you or send you something, but make sure that they know how to get involved in a relationship with you. So there's one ministry I saw that is very, very smart. They use a top 10 list. That's how they communicate their needs. It's not the most important thing they communicate. They'll communicate progress in the ministry, but then they say, here are our top 10 needs. And sometimes people write checks. And the example that I know of is they needed a new copier, a copy machine for their office. Well, there was a guy on their mailing list that actually runs a copy machine company. And he called him up. He said, you need one? I'll just donate one. So if you let your needs known and you ask, here's how you can help. But oftentimes, my experience in working with ministries is they're afraid to ask, or they don't know how to ask, or they don't make it clear. So you want to make sure that you ask. So I'm going to show you a quick example, and Nadia and Gabrielle cannot you cannot answer because you know the answer to this question. So what's the difference between these two emails? Anybody see the difference between those two emails?
This one doesn't have download.
Say that again.
This one doesn't have download your free copy.
It's the access to the connection to
call to action. So I like showing this example because it's almost the exact same layout, exact same typeface. This one on the right-hand side got 158% better response than the one on the left-hand side. All because of that button. This is very clear, right? And the button isn't get more information. No one needs more information. Make sure there's a benefit on your call to action, right? So you should ask yourself, what is your call to action? What can you do to make it better and include the benefit? So I can tell you, and again, this is my core business that I've been working on the last 10 years. The difference between download your free guide and even get more information or just anything generic makes a huge difference in that. So if you're going to help people, you know, re-evangelize Romania, don't have your call to action be for more information, email here. It's like, it's, you know, let's bring the gospel to Romania, something like that. Be bold in your ask. And I say that because if God has called you to do this ministry, it's incumbent that you let people know and what they can do to participate. It's just so important. Okay? Do not be afraid to ask. All right? All right, so let me show you some examples of how these principles are at work. And So I mentioned to you about the Crisis Pregnancy Center, so I want to actually show you the physical examples. So this was actually the brochure that they were ready to go to print with. They had actually gotten pretty well. And the reason I show this in this presentation is because it is exactly the way we marked it up sitting in the office of the executive director. So after we went through the process, what they did is they changed it to what would you do to save 2,400 babies' lives? And they called it the Miracle 2,400 campaign. So they changed it from campaign to life to Miracle 2,400 campaign. Same message. Same campaign, completely different in the way they communicated it. Strategy to save the lives of 2,400 babies and 880 souls. Now, if you're a person whose heart is cold and you don't care, then this isn't going to affect you. But if you are interested in seeing people come to faith in Christ and intervening in the lives of infants before they're aborted, boy, you've got my attention. Now, my next question is, well how are you going to do that, right? I don't get that. So this is the brochure that they had before. And you can't really see this, but they kind of said, what if you could save the lives of 2,140 babies? But their graph was about the centers they were going to open up. They were talking about real estate. Now, I care about real estate only to the point that it helps me accomplish the thing that I'm trying to do. So what happened is they changed the graph to about babies, because this is about reaching babies. And so you can see there's, if they don't add any additional centers, there's 7,500. If they just go at their normal growth rate, they believe they'll impact 9,330. But if they can open the centers in the same time period, they'll reach 11,000 babies. And now, I didn't do this design, so there's things I would change on it, but they got the principles, right? Because look at that. Look at that bubble up there. You can't miss it. These lives hinge on your decision. I would tell you that's a good example of a call to action. It's just laying it out there. They could defend this, and it would make a difference. And here's the interesting thing about this. Their goal was to raise $3 million. They met their goal ahead of schedule. But what was most interesting about the ministry was that they everything that they did in the ministry, their general fund giving, their volunteer hours, their donations, everything went up at the same time they were raising more money than they ever raised. And the most exciting thing out of that is what they found is that there was an issue that wasn't fully being addressed within our community. And that is there were a number of women, primarily women that were in the church, that had had abortions and had never said anything about it. And had been quiet and silent and bearing this guilt and shame for all these years. So they started a post-abortive ministry that became huge to minister to women so that they would understand the forgiveness, the grace and mercy that's in Christ, even if you had aborted a baby. And it was not only something that they used to minister to women in the church, but it was also ways that they used to evangelize women who had never been into a church and would never step into the church because they thought God would never, ever accept them because they knew what they had done. And one of the things that they did, and I had the privilege to participate and lead these, is they, at the end, do a memorial service. After women go through the study and really understand the fullness of the forgiveness that God gives and the way He takes away the guilt and shame, they do a memorial service for the babies. And these women who have never, ever spoken of this child that they've mourned the loss of for years silently, stand up and read a letter to that child. And it is one of the most powerful things you will ever see, because forgiveness and mercy and shame and guilt and the burden of sin being lifted is palpable in those times. And I would tell you that that was never the plan of this campaign, but it was the outgrowth of it. And I believe there's been hundreds, if not now, thousands of women who've been impacted by this. So sometimes God's plans are way bigger than we even imagine. But if you apply these principles, you at least get your story out there and people know what you need to do to accomplish what you have in front of you. So let me show you something that wasn't a campaign. So I'd mentioned to you that I worked with the LCMS Foundation. So one of the things about giving is that people always feel like they don't know what to do, who to give to, what ministries are legitimate. So what the LCMS Foundation did is they started with the idea that everyone should have a lifetime plan for giving. It's not about the amount. It's that God has given us all different measures to work with. The parable of the talents, some He gave one, some He gave two, some He gave five. But if you read that text, what's interesting is He didn't judge the person with two the way that he judged the person with five. The reward was the same. The person that has two turned it into four. And He said, well done, good and faithful servant. The person that had five turned it into ten. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say to the person at two, well, sorry, you didn't get five. No, God doesn't care. The amounts don't matter. So what they did is they said, you should have a lifetime plan for giving, to think about gifts and giving your whole life. Whether you make, whether you can give $20 or whether you can give $200,000, it doesn't matter. What matters is you should have a lifetime plan. So I had mentioned to you, this is the brochure that they were using. Realize your vision for ministry and mission. No idea what I'm supposed to do there. Absolutely no idea. No captions on the photos, have no idea what that's about. Those people are standing on the road, they're going to get hit by a truck, right? So we changed it to this, and this actually folds up. So it's a provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about. Resources for your family support the Lord's work, right? And then down here at the bottom, there's a picture of kids, right? Picture of children. And it says, join your fellow Lutherans, praise the Lord with gifts for the future of the church. Right? We just had our first grandchild. So when your first grandchild comes, you start thinking on a whole different scale. What's that life going to be? You first think about, what's that life going to be for my kids? What's the world going to be like for my kids? But now I'm thinking, what's the world going to be like for my granddaughter? And what can we do? So there a caption helps, right? This is how their old brochure was. And notice, the LCMS Foundation, it's the first four, all the paragraphs are about the foundation. It's about them. I don't even know why I should care about the foundation at this point. What's the other thing you notice about this interior layout? What else do you notice about that? Anything? Who said it? Somebody said it. What is it?
No captions.
No captions. Who are these people? Why should I care, right? Even on the other one that I showed you, that there's at least, you know, it's telling you that if you invest, we're going to help the future of the church, right? That's an aspiration, right? You mean I can contribute and I might be able to contribute even after I'm gone? There's no captions here. So we change it. How can you provide for your heirs in the Lord's work? Just that simple. Used subheads also, right? So visually you look at that, and then you'll notice there's a building project, there's a water project, there's some pastoral training. So that caption on the right-hand side, which everyone can see, each year thousands of Lutherans plan for future ministry through our gift planning services. That's all. So if I'm concerned about the church continuing on and strengthened, that caption makes me, really? Okay, now, I'm not going to tell you about charitable remainder trust and all the documentation in this brochure. I'm going to tell you that if your heart is bent towards giving to the Lord's work and taking care of your heirs, I've got something that can help you. And I'm not making it up. In 18 months, from $70 million to $700 million of gifts that they managed. And most of that money got directed to ministries. And all they did was change the way that they communicated. Okay? So this is an example that I want you to see. So this is a campaign that we started for Fort Wilderness to raise $2.1 million in the worst recession in the history of the world in a long time, right? In 2009. But what I want you to see is, as we look through these materials, there are some principles here. Number one, they tell the story, but you'll notice that they start using captions on their photos, right? And they tell what their ministry's about, why they're doing what they're doing, what it's going to take for them to get things done, and then what will the results be? And we're not going to have time to go through all of this, but this is yours to keep. You can walk through this. And the reason why I wanted you to see this too is, I don't think this is a great layout, but the principles are there. And they started to use the principles to communicate the story. All right? So that's the first one. That was the main piece that kicked things off. And then after that, this is really key. What they did is they sent the green one. After they got two-thirds through the campaign, they sent this to remind people that you had given and here's the progress. So I'm going to put this up on the slide, but I'm going to say this now. Most people think marketing communications is a thunderstorm and it's actually irrigation. One of the biggest things that ministries don't do is they don't communicate progress along the way. They do the big ask, they do things, and then they just throw things out. And if you think about how a relationship works, if you have a friendship, if someone only talks to you infrequently or they only call you if they have something to ask you for, it doesn't work. So if you look at this piece, this I think gets better in its design. It ties to the same theme. It talks about focusing on the future. And one of the things... I forgot to mention. Let me go back. I'm just mindful of time. Go back to the brown one for a minute, right? I want to show you one thing. I want you to see the giving triangle. It will be one of the last pages. It's this page right here, right? So this is an effective way to make an ask. So what we did is we broke down the $2.1 million and said, we need this many people to give these kinds of size of gifts over 3 years. And so the reason why this is effective is because I'm not asking you a yes or no decision. What I'm saying is, do you believe God is calling you to help us accomplish what He's called us to? And if the answer is yes, then the answer is, where do you see yourself on this pyramid? Where do you see yourself fitting in here? This is something you should pray about. So when you ask, sometimes you don't want to just give them a yes or no option. You want to give them other ways to get engaged. And one of the reasons why this is helpful is because the person today that can give you $20, 10 years from now may be able to give you $200,000. Or the person today who gives you $20 may get an inheritance next week and want to give you more than that. They just didn't have the means. So again, the amounts don't matter to God. What matters is being clear about what you're trying to do, why you're doing it, what's it going to take for you to do it, and how can I participate? And so this giving triangle helps that way. So now let me jump back to the green one. You'll notice that this is, on this page, what they said is we're two-thirds of the way there, right? And they use this tree because the camp is in the North Woods. Again, I don't get real concerned about the design because the design actually is pretty pleasing. But notice they have captions here with people giving testimonies to how it works, right? And then they say, you know, here's what we've accomplished, here's what we need to do, and then this is their call to action. Would you leave a mark on the next generation? So that's trying to be a funny play on words, right? And so they just communicate their progress. And then the last thing is this. So they're 95% there, right? So this is the period over time, and they've communicated. Now, what I want you to notice is that the captions got better. And you're free to take this and read this, because, again, we don't have as much time as I'd like. But the captions get better. They're getting better at explaining what the photos do. And notice, this is a letter, but they include photos, right? Because even in their letters, they want to make sure that people know what's going on. So here's what's interesting about this. So they're over 95% done, less than $100,000 to go. I'll tell you what happened with this campaign. The goal was $2.1 million, and they raised $2.4 million. And the reason is there was a guy who got this at the end, and he really got convicted. He said, we got to finish this. This is important. So he personally took it on himself to go to 20 people that he knew that had some means and said, we need to close the gap on this $100,000. Well, what he didn't know is those guys got so excited about it that they actually gave more than that. That's how they got to the 2.4. My point is if you communicate over time, you will see that things happen for people. All right, I'm going to do one last thing real quick. One more example. This is an individual who is raising money to go on staff at Fort Wilderness. So what I want you to look at is the progression. And again, we're not going to read this, but they it's the same thing. They're using subheads to communicate things, but the captions in the photos got better, right? The captions now, from a design standpoint, they're not in the photos, they're outside the photos. And you get an understanding about what the ministry is and what this person will be doing as part of that ministry. Right? So this guy is going to work in construction, but look at the middle caption on the back page. Fort has 50 buildings that need to be maintained and renovated so that ministry can take place. This guy is a construction guy, but this is about impacting people's lives. And look at that picture, right? Do those kids look like they're having fun? Does that look like they've got adults engaging in their lives? So even when you're talking, because people just aren't that excited about buildings. Mm-hmm. But buildings are important for ministry. And that's what this guy's going to do. And that's his calling. He's uniquely gifted. So the reason that I wanted, and then the other thing I wanted you to see is on this, is this is another way to do the giving triangle. Right? Or the giving pyramid. He's saying for us to raise the support, for us to join staff, we need people to participate in this level. And it's a trick question. Guess, did he raise the amount he needed to raise? Do you think he raised the amount? Actually, he exceeded it. So these principles have been used by three people that I know of that I've helped raise support to join mission staffs, and every one of them exceeded their goal. And their board didn't know what to do with that, because usually that's a really hard thing for people to do. And three different ministries, and all of them exceeded their goal. The board said, you need to raise this amount. And one time the guy called me, he goes, what do I do? I'm over the amount. I said, you need to talk to your board. The board didn't know what to do. So I say these things, again, I hope it's not, I'm not trying to brag or be arrogant. I just know this works. And it works to help build the kingdom of God. Because God's plans will always have God's provision, but our stewardship is to make sure people know what we need. And these principles will help you make sure that that happens. So let me just give you a couple things. So effective marketing is not like a thunderstorm, it's irrigation. I don't want you to walk out of here and think you have to solve all of this in one meeting. You just need to be committed to the principles, and you will get better and better and better over time. I showed you a range of documents here from Fort Wilderness with their permission, because the first one is not as good as that last letter I showed you. But the principles are there. And the principles, they got better at writing captions and better at doing layouts. Commit to the principles, not just the activity. And you can't do everything at once, and you will get better over time. So last slide, and then we'll take some questions. What can you do about today? So try and be clear about what your promise is. You'll have to work through this, but think about your marketing in terms of what is your promise. Second thing is understand the motivations of your audience. Really take a moment to say, what's important to the people that you're talking to? What's important to them? What goals are they trying to do? What problem are they trying to solve? What, both from all the constituencies that you might have to communicate with. The third thing is apply the takeaway. Ask the hard question. I can tell you I've been involved over the years in helping ministries, and I'd meet with boards, and boy, the boards were always uncomfortable with this question. They'd always start off and they were not wanting to do this because they're excited about their ministry. That's why they're serving on the board. But when you ask this question, it helps you get to a much more compelling message in your communication. Because if God has called you to something uniquely, it's absolutely critical that you accomplish that. And to accomplish that, you're going to need support and resources. And the only way people are going to know that is if you can tell them what happens if you go away. And then use photos, images, and captions. Just be committed to it. Do not put something out without that. And just get better at it and better at it and better at it. Make your call to action clear. And I'm going to leave this slide up at the end here so you can write these things down. Make your call to action clear. What do you want me to do? What do you need me to do? The other thing I will tell you is if you communicate progress in your ministry, what happened in the campaign that I told you about is some people, I hope this works, or this language translates, they doubled down. They had already given to the campaign, and they saw that the money was already being used in an effective way. And they said, you know what, we're going to give again. We've already fulfilled our commitment, but we're going to add some more to it. And that can happen because people who have means, who have a heart for generosity, are not concerned about writing checks or giving money or supporting ministries. What they're concerned about is what I call an EROI, an eternal return on investment. They want to stand before God and say, God, you gave me this money and I've used it to the most effective way that I know how to build your kingdom around the world. So it's just incumbent upon you in your ministry and what God has called you to let them experience the joy of giving, because that's what God has given those resources to. All right. Oh, sorry, I'm going to put that back. So we've got a few minutes. I know this is really a lot of material to be dumping in one seminar, but hopefully it's helpful. Again, it's principles, not things. So, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.